This week we have a doubleheader in Parshios Vayakhel Tekudei, which ends the book of Shemot, the Sefer Shemot as well. As well as it's Shabbos Avarach in Nisan, and it's the last of the special four Parshios, Shabbos Parshat HaChodesh. And I'd like to speak about a little bit at the end about Parshat HaChodesh, because it is an important preparation for Nisan and for Pesach. And focus in on particularly one or two inyanim that are found in Parshos Vayakhel Pekudei. The first inyan, and again we'll look at this on a number of levels, really as a continuum. The first is the Parsha begins in Parshos Vayakhel telling us, and this is an idea that's been repeated throughout these Parshios of building the Mishkan, every wise-hearted person among you shall come and make everything that Hashem has commanded. And the Chumash describes that the artisans who were involved in the Mishkan are described as Chacham Leiv. Very interesting description. They are those who are wise, Chacham Leiv, in their heart. And first question is, how do we describe, how do we understand, who are these Chachmei Leiv? It's interesting because in Parsha Kitisa, in source number 2, and I behold have assigned with him Aholiah, son of Achisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have endowed the heart of every wise-hearted person with wisdom, and they shall make all that I have commanded you. So here the Chumash tells us that Hashem is the one who gave these Chochmei Lei, these wise-hearted people, Chochmah, wisdom. Which is also a very interesting relationship, that those who already had Chochmah, those who already had wisdom, that Hashem gave them the wisdom of the further wisdom. What is this wisdom of the heart? What is this further wisdom that Hashem has given? That's question one. The second question, which is a much more famous question, also has two parts to it. We know that throughout the 40th chapter, throughout the end of Parshas Pekudei, when we have Klal Yisrael actually putting up and bringing all that they were commanded, so it repeats over and over again, in total of 18 times, and we'll take a look at source 3. He brought the ark into the tabernacle and placed the partition sheltering the ark of testimony, and this is the refrain that repeats itself 8 times, Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe. Again, after the next pasuk, as Hashem had commanded Moshe. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, and we've discussed this in the past, it's a famous question, is why is there such an emphasis on Kasher Tziva Hashem Moshe? Just list all the things that the Jewish people brought, and at the end say, and all this that they had done was Kasher Tziva Hashem Moshe, like Hashem had commanded Moshe. Why is the need to repeat it after each and every item? What's even more fascinating, this is the second part of the question, if we take a look in the 40th chapter, in the 33rd pasuk, it says by the chatzer, by the courtyard, it says vayakem et chatzer saviv la mishkan v'la mitzbeach, vayitein masach shara chatzer, vayichal Moshe tamlacha. What's fascinating about the chatzer, by this courtyard, is it doesn't say kasher tziva Hashem Moshe. The psukim before mentioned kasher tziva Hashem Moshe. But the question of Farshim asks as well, why is it by the chatzer we are missing kasher tziva Hashem Moshe? What was different about the courtyard that this is missing? Understand the Chacham Leiv, understand these wise-hearted people who built the Mishkan, understand kasher tziva Hashem Moshe, and our overall question, which I want to focus in on, is we have been describing the book of Shemot throughout our Prakim, and Amir Tzashem will talk more about this in our Pesach Shir, as really the emergence of the Jewish people to become Avdei Hashem, to become the servants of Hashem. And what I'd like to look at the culmination of Sefer Shemot in these parashios of Vayakhel Pekudei, is where do we find in the name of the Shir the integral ingredient to be the Avdei Hashem, to be the servants of Hashem that we really need to be. And that's really the culmination of the Sefer Geula, the book of redemption. So I'd like to take a look at a number of ingredients that are necessary for us to have within us as Avdei Hashem, as servants of Hashem, and in so doing, being able to respond to our questions and hopefully learning some new ideas along the way. The first integral ingredient is discussed in Rav Moshe Reis's Sefer Meirosh Tzurim. He says, when you take a look, and this is source number 4, at the Mishkan and at the Batei Mikdashot, the two temples, we find very interestingly that you can't compare in terms of beauty, in terms of wealth, the temples outshone the Mishkan in every way. But we find that these temples were destroyed b'yidei tsar v'oyev, in the hands of the enemies, v'lo kein ala b'gorlo shel ha-mishkan, but this was not the same fate of the tabernacle. Hu omnam chadal m'lashamesh v'tafkido. Yes, there was a point when Shiloh was destroyed that the Mishkan was no longer functioning. Ulam yidei zarim av pam lo shaltubo. The Mishkan was nignas, it was concealed, it was hidden, but it was never destroyed. Nimsa sham Mishkan nechtam bechotam shal netzah. There's an aspect of nitzrius, an aspect of eternity in connection with the Mishkan, which the Batei Mikdash, which the temple did not reach this same level. And obviously the question is, well, what was it about the Mishkan that although it was no longer used, it was nignaz, it was concealed, it was hidden, but all it has to be is dug up once again, and the Mishkan is found intact. Well, the Batei Mikdash, as we know, it's destroyed, and who knows where the vessels are, hiding somewhere in Rome. This idea of the adifut, of the preference to the Mishkan, is also found in an interesting halacha that the Torah mentions. The Torah mentions that it's in source 5, that it's written in Masechet Sofrim, that you're not supposed to fast in Chodesh Nisan. And what is it about Chodesh Nisan? So the first 12 days were the time that the Nesi'e Yisrael, that the princes of Israel, brought the sacrifices to inaugurate the temple. And each day that they brought a sacrifice, so it was a yantif, it was a festival for that Shevet. So it's interesting that because of the simcha, because of the joy that was found on each of the first 12 days of Nisan, right, the rest of the month of Nisan has other reason, but the first 12 days of Nisan is because of the joy in the inauguration of the Mishkan of the tabernacle. So the Beis Yosef asks a very basic question. He says, we know that the Sefer Megillos Tanis, Masechet Sofrim, is but many of this Tanis, and many of the fast days, and many of the Yantis, we don't hold but. Why is it that this aspect is Ladoros? Right, if the rest of Masechet Sofrim we're not going to follow, so why is this the only singular aspect that we are following and we don't fast? We're not allowed to fast the first 12 days of Nisan. And he answers in the asterisk in the Chidushei Harim, who says that the other Moadim and the other times, special occasions that are mentioned in this book are things that happen in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so too, whatever festival was connected to that time period, it's also batel, it's also nullified. But because the Mishkan was never destroyed, so the Mishkan, the potency of the Mishkan never wanes, and therefore that which is connected to the Mishkan, in this case, the sacrifices that the Nesim, that the princes brought, is still applicable even today, thousands of years later. Because there's some aspect to the Mishkan which takes precedence over the Beis HaMikdash. So the obvious question is, well, what is it about the Mishkan? And the answer to this question is our ingredient number 1. Madua asked the Rav Reis, why is it that the Mishkan has a greater aspect than the Beis HaMikdash in this respect? And again, as we pointed out, you can't compare in terms of beauty and in terms of money. But he quotes here the answer from the Sforno, who says in Source 7, Shayu Rashe Omanei Malachar Mishkan V'Kalav Miyuchatzim V'Tzadikim Shebador. Who built the Mishkan? These were the righteous people of the generation. Uberchein Shartashchina V'Masei Yadehem V'Lo Nafal B'Yad O'Ivim. And that is why there was Shechina, there was divine presence on the work of their hands, and they never fell in the hands of enemies. But in the time of Mikdash Shlomo, people from Sur did the Malacha. And even though there was a Shechina, divine presence, the Beis HaMikdash had to be strengthened, and there was a Bedek HaBayit. They had to do an overhaul a number of times, and in the end fell in the hands of strangers. And likewise, in the times of Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, there were people from other nations that were building the Beis HaMikdash. Now clearly, he says, recognize that there is no Isser. There's nothing wrong in having strangers or foreigners build the Beis HaMikdash. It's perfectly halachically permitted, but it takes on a whole different character than something that is developed through B'yadot Tzadikim Kedoshei Elyon. When holy people and only holy people are involved in this, it creates a tahara, it creates a holiness, which is unparalleled to that found in the Beis HaMikdash. And he says at the end of 8, and this is what's really important, Yishkan bitui l'gisha ha-yahadut ha-mekorit. We find here a fundamental element in Judaism. Hashonem mitachlit mizu shel umos ha-olam, which differs radically from the Western mentality that we are submerged in. Tfisat goye haratzoti, the Western mentality is shapeera chitzoni hino chazot hakol. What matters is how it looks, right? The end product. Hadura biyofya, which is glowing in its glory, in its beauty. Lu'umatam doglim Yisrael b'shita shapnimiyat hi akovat v'hi amanika l'mifal erchosano v'yitzivato. Well, beauty is very important, and Judaism is into beautiful things, and we appreciate beautiful things. What we also place a tremendous emphasis on, and to a certain degree, this emphasis allows for the stability and really characterizes the entire nature of that which we're building, is the mindset of the people building it and the pnimius, the inner work that goes into it. Now, my friends, there are many hashlachot, there are many implications of this on many different levels. On a technical level, we're doing building now construction in our apartment, and Demir Tzashem, we're building a study. And that's one of the things I said, if we're building a place of Kedusha, place of holiness, it only can be Jewish labor, and it has to be people of Yirei Shemayim, a people of a certain stature, that are going to build a place that, you know, people can learn Torah. So that's like on a technical level. Not always, you know, living in different parts of the world, we're able to do this. Sometimes, yes. And to give money to Jewish labor, if we're able to do this, it's much better if we're able to do this. But I think it has much deeper ramifications. And it's just food for thought. Just allow me a tangent for a moment, and you can completely disagree with me. But this is where what resonates with me when I read this piece. When we look at the beauty of this world around us that man creates, it's important for us to recognize that we can't only focus on the outer beauty. Part of this outer beauty are the individuals who are putting in who and what they are into this piece, which comes out in the outer product. And I think in particular, where I particularly feel this, and again, one could disagree, is in music. We know that music is really the window to the soul. And if you ask my students, they'll tell you that Mrs. Smiles listens to very little music. I love music. When my students are here, one of the things that we do all the time is sing. I think music is very powerful. And because of that, I'm very wary of who the composer is. If music is going to be so powerful as to enter into something so personal as my soul, so I want to be very careful, not only on the music, but the music is a reflection of who's writing this music. And this, my friends, is true of Jewish music as well. I listen to very little Jewish music. If I can hear the singer, the composer in the music, if I hear that he's more into his voice than the words, I can't listen. But again, there is this aspect that we sometimes are caught up in the generation of how does it look, how does it look? The end product is what counts. But we can't forget that process is equally, if not more so, important. And perhaps as the last ha'ara, and then I'm going to move on because I don't want to get too carried away here, is with chinuch banim, with children. So often we're interested in what grade they got on the test and not how they got it, which leads to, being in the educational field for years, kids cheating left, right, and center in the most creative and innovative ways I've ever seen, because the pressure is on what's the final grade. And the credit goes to those children who are the greatest and the finest. One young lady in Dar Chevina once told me that she was in a school of the graduating class of two. There were 18 awards given out at graduation. The other girl got 18. She got zero. That, my friends, is missing the mark of Jewish education. It's about recognizing the effort that's put in and not only the final product. The Mishkan, the godless of the Mishkan, was not just the beauty at the end, but everyone who was involved in the process of the Mishkan itself had this aspect of godless, this aspect of greatness. And this is the aspect in source number 9, where the Sforno talks about Rotzeh Hashem et Yireav. Hashem desires those who fear him. And he continues in the next underline where he says, HaMishkan Shenivneh, says Rav Reis, Kalil Mito Kedushat Yisrael Hutzaka Yisodot Etanim. It was built on the Kedusha of Israel with very strong foundation. Shelolam Lo Nitan Haya Lamot Hatam, which cannot be destroyed. And he says, what did these people have? And he describes, based on Sfas Emes, that there was an aspect by Klal Yisrael of a lishma, dahenu shemasav nasim mitoch kavanat lev Torah lishmo shel makom. What was missing among the nations that Jews have is that when they were building was a desire to do it for the sake of God. And this garin tahor, this pure seed, was found in everything they do, because there's a concept of stama lishma koi, that even if you're doing it without intention, their intention was this nikudah pnimit of l'shem shamayim. If you were to ask them, stop them in the middle, you would ask a goy in the Beis Hamikdash from Sur, why are you building this? I'm being hired to build it. You'd ask a yid in the middle, even if he was not focused at that moment, why are you building the Mishkan? He would say, I'm building place for Hashem's presence to reside. The whole focus of the building was a lishma. And because it had this lishma aspect, it was for nitzchius. It's going to be around eternally. And that in source 10 at the asterisk says as Sfas Emes is the idea of the chochmei lei. What is this? Ki lemelechet binyan ha-mishkan huzkeku Yisrael. Lo rak l'umnus shel yadayim. We just don't need artisans who are talented with their hands. Elab l'pnimiut shel leim. Shehi hayta markiva ikaron shebebinyan. What was the ikar? What is the main aspect of building the Mishkan? Yes, beauty is important. But what and how does the Chumash characterize them? Chochmei leiv. The chokhmah, the wisdom, is not only in their hands and in their head, it's in their heart, it's the mindset. While they're involved in doing and working, they recognize that they're doing this, l'shem Hashem, l'shem Shemayim. The idea of the command, vasuli mikdash, li lishmi, says Rashi, make for me a mikdash, for my name, for my glory, that was the mindset. You know, it's interesting. The Gra points out in source number 11 that if a shul were built from moment go till the end for lishma, l'shem shamayim, which means those who are cutting the wood, those who are chopping the stone, those who are, every aspect was done with this lishma aspect, says the Gra, you won't have a tefillah said there. Lo hayita yechola lamer shelo bekavana. Because hatahara shebitzira, because the purity in the development, chayevet latet et ototeh bekedusha shetishre b'makom, is going to leave an imprint on the place. That's why the Malbim at the end of 11 notes that it's called Mishkan Ha'edus, the Mishkan of testimony. It's a testimony that God could testify that every single aspect was done l'shem shamayim. My friends, could you imagine if this is true of a building? Just to take pause for a moment, how much more so when we're building children, we're building communities, we're building friends. If our focus is really lishma for the sake of heaven and not what our neighbor is going to think about our chinuch banim, and we want our children to be polite because everyone else around them will think, wow, you're such a good parent, but you're doing it really because this is the proper way to raise children, and your whole focus is a proper focus. Wow. The problem is, my friends, that we're not there. We're so influenced by what is the end product going to look like that we don't put in enough effort into the lishma aspect in the process, into davening so much for our children. That's what our kids need. More than the toys, more than the games, what they need is davening. What they need is us recognizing that we're building spiritual lives and to put in this lishma aspect for the sake of God. Because of this, my friends, we can now appreciate the Ramban, which is found in the asterisk in source number 12. I'm sure that when we pick up the Chumash this week, or we come to the Shabbos table and we ask the kids what Sedra is, what is it about? The Mishkan, again. The Kalim, again. And part of us says, again? And the answer is, yes, again. Why? Says the Ramban, Hine yechzir b'tara melech ha-mishkan chamesh pa'amim. It's repeated five times. V'kol zeh derech chiba v'derech ma'ala lomar bo. Chefetz Hashem b'melecha u'maskir. And it tells us, Ota b'tarata pamim harbe, larbot schar lo skimba. Because this was an act of love. Hashem, it's repeated over and over again, to give reward to those who are involved in it. Why do we have so much arichus? It's kechefetz ha-chaviva ba'alav. It's like an object which is beloved to its owner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw how much love we put in to each and every aspect of building the Mishkan. And that was so beloved to him that he repeats it over and over again. You're right, if it's just a building, same material, it's not. It's a reflection of what Klal Yisrael put in. And that, my friends, in 13, is why we have Kasher Tziva Hashem and Moshe over and over again. That is the stamp, so to speak, that from the moment they were commanded till the moment that they brought it, every aspect of the process, every aspect of the welding, every aspect of the banging and of the coloring, every aspect was Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe. Never along the way did personal pride come in, did personal glory come in. No one along the way said, wow, look how beautiful what I've created. They recognized that all that they were doing was shlichus, to do Ritzon Hashem, to do the will of God. And that is the stamp of Kasher Tziva Hashem and Moshe. It's not just commanding what to what should be done, but it's a recognition that everything was done lishma. My friends, that's ingredient number one. Ingredient number one of the integral ingredients is recognizing our life should be about building ourselves, our communities, and that which we do for the sake of Hashem, and trying to remove as much as we can our ego from it, the results from it, because ultimately the results are in the hands of Hashem, and recognize our job is Kashir Tziva Hashem and Moshe. Our job is to do the best we can do in this world. And it's interesting, the Imre Chemed points out that there is a repetition at the end of Asu Ota Kashir Tziva Hashem, because, and then Kein Asu, because whatever is done in this world is mirrored up in heaven. And recognize, if we would have this understanding, that all that's done up here has a spiritual parallel in heaven, we would understand that we're involved in spiritual enterprises. And it's not about myself. And it's about being able to live a life dedicated to this call. And that's why the Imre Chemed points out that there are three places where you have, aside from these 18, two other places, Kasher Tziva Hashem Moshe. One is in 16, when Aaron lit the menorah, Vayas Kein Aaron, and he does exactly as he's told, and asks the Reb Simcha Bunim, and he says, duh, would I have thought Aaron didn't do what he was told? But rather the 16, the asterisk, Upeira Shalonit Pa'el Mizem Uma. He didn't feel personal pride. V'lo Allah b'libo shum gavhud. Sheba l'gadlut kazo. Most of us, when we do something that's really special, we say, wow, look how great I am. Aaron HaKohen, Kasher Tziva Hashem Moshe, this is what I'm supposed to do. Just like I don't take pride in breathing, because that's what my body's supposed to do, I don't take pride in what I accomplish. Yes, you can feel good because you're feeling good, that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. But it's not the feeling good of gaiva, of look how great I am. Likewise, you have this, as we spoke about in the Mishkan, that they did it exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them. They didn't do it with the mindset of you know, we're bringing down the Shekhinah as much as this is what Hashem wants, this is what we're doing. And I think the most interesting is in 18. You have this by Korban Pesach. Pasuk says, Vayechu Vayisu B'nei Yisrael Kasher Tziva Hashem Moshe Keinas V'aron Keinasu. And here, he quotes the idea of the Sfaremet. V'gam Peiresh L'manche Tzaricha Adam L'chavein B'mitzvah. I think this Sfaremet is really where it's at. Yishav Kavon in the mitzvah, Shaidei Zeh Yekli L'kabel Torat Hashem. When you do a mitzvah, you're opening yourselves up to the dictates of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo lasot mitzvah b'derech hargel bilvah. And every time we do a mitzvah, we're opening up a spiritual pathway. We have to be careful not to do it out of rote. Ki mitzvah tzliyah v'chavana asiyata. Because the mitzvah is dependent on our kavana, on our mindset. U'matzinu v'avotenu shenigalu mitzrayim mitzvah mitzvah pesach. And we find the Jewish people redeemed from Egypt because of the mitzvah of Pesach. U'perashu shagam she'edu shagulat tzliyah b'seh. And even though the Jewish people knew the redemption was dependent on this, they did it in order to do God's will and not in order to be redeemed. And because of that, they were redeemed. Had they done it just, well, what we're going to get out of it? We do the Korban Pesach, we're going to get out of here? It would not have worked. In life, it's about doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands. And that changes around a medrash, which is one of the medrash we have a whole shirat, but it's a very strange medrash. The medrash says in 19, I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak. The Torah teaches us derech eretz, when a person does a mitzvah, you should do it b'lev sameach. Had Reuven known, it would say in the Torah, and Reuven heard, and he wanted to save Yosef, he would have carried him on his shoulders to his father's. So the obvious question is, you mean if Reuven knew that it's going to be written down in the Torah, he would have done it differently? This is what Reuven was interested in? No, this is what it means. It means, according to what we're saying, the following. Had Reuven known the importance of what he was doing and what was going to bring him into doing this was only about the importance, then he would have lost out in being written in the Torah his action. Why does the Torah record what he did? Because he's only doing it for mitzvat Hashem. He's only doing it because God commanded it. And not because of what others are going to say and what is going to be written down. In life, we need to do what is the correct thing. And we can't always be looking over our shoulder what others will say, what others will do. There's a certain amount of simplicity of doing Ritzon Hashem for its own sake. And in our society in particular, and I don't have time to get too distracted today, but in our society when people are so often looking over their shoulders and deciding their avodas Hashem based on how their neighbors will view them, then we're missing out on this lishma, on this integral ingredient of this is what Ritzon Hashem is, and this is what needs to be done. So even if everybody is doing, you know, we spoke about Mishlochei Manot, the fancy Mishlochei Manot of, you know, $50 for Mishloch Manos, and you just can't afford it. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to do it as a Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded, regardless of what others are going to say about you. And the same thing holds true, my friend, of a simcha, of a wedding. The same thing holds true of a bar mitzvah. It doesn't matter what other people say. What matters is the simcha of reaching gil mitzvah. What matters is the simcha of a marriage and not the 15-piece band or the, you know, 12-course meal. We're missing out on what really counts of the lishma. And here, the Lashon Chassidim explains so beautifully. You want to know what a real Chacham Lev is? Perush HaChochma HaGdola Shebechol HaChochmot in 21. The greatest Chochma of all the Chochmos. He Shelo Liyon Chacham Klal. It's not to be wise at all. Rak Lasso Kasher Tziva Hashem. V'lishum Chochma Ba'olam. You want to know what the greatest wisdom is in the world? To do what God says. Not to try to outsmart God. That's a Chacham Lev. That's a wise-hearted person. But we know that so often in life, we think we know better than Hashem. Real Chochmas Lev is Kasher Tziv Hashem Moshe, that simplicity, that bittul. That, my friends, is aspect number one of the integral ingredient. Aspect number two is the way the Sforno in Bamidbar by Yoshua describes the Chacham Lev. He says, Yoshua in 22 is described as Ish Asher Ruach Bo, a person with whom there is spirit. And the Sforno there writes, Muchan Lekabel Or Pnei Melech Hayin. He's ready to accept the light of the living God. Ki Inyan, similar to, Ubelev Ko Chacham Lev Natati Chochma, and the heart of all wise people I've given wisdom. So ask the Sichos Musar in 23, if the person is already wise-hearted, why is God wasting wisdom on him? And therefore, the Sichos Musar gives us a working definition of Chacham Lev, and that is, a person who's a Chacham Lev is the person who is called Kulo, the asterisk in 23, Mevakesh Veshoef Likalot Yoter Veyoter. A Chacham Lev is somebody who desires wisdom. To whom does God give wisdom? To someone who has a desire to grow, someone who has a she'ifa, a desire to reach to higher places, someone who just doesn't sit back and say, I'm happy and complacent where I'm at. It's somebody, he says in 24, she'beit ha'kibu l'chochma, dehainu bakashat ha'chochma al adam l'achin ba'atzmo. A person has to create the vehicle, for Chochma to reside within him. It's like the Pasuk in Tehillim, Harcheiv Picha, open your mouth, expand your mouth, Va'amalehu, then God can fill us up. But if we don't create the Beit HaKibul, then there's no place for God to fill us up. Similar to those story of Elisha with the oil, with a woman who just had a little bit of oil, and she said, just gather a lot of pots, and start pouring, and the oil is going to continue to flow into every pot. When there were no more pots, the oil ceased. Likewise with us in life. You want to know what Chochma Lev is about? It's about being able to have a desire, and this is ingredient number two. If the first ingredient is to listen, to bittul, to do things lishma, for the sake of God, the next step is a desire to be able to do, to prepare ourselves to be able to be in Eved Hashem and not just live a life out of habit. And here, the Leif Shalom Rosh Chodron Zatzal gives a gewaldic insight into the famous Gemara, the asterisk in 26. I think it's something that will resonate with all of us. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyirat shemayim, everything's in the hands of heaven except fear of heaven. Ubeyirat shemayim yesh shnei ofanim, there are two aspects of fear of heaven. Ha'echad, there's one type of person. Yesh adam shiyirei Hashem, there's a person who fears God. Aval kol yirato hirakim mikra, but his whole fear is based on purely accidental, so to speak. Klomar, lo kol maaseh maaseh shoseh overet lo chashbon nokev umivarar. Not everything he does is really carefully weighed. Ella shakaki belmi marav harav. This is what his parents taught him, his teachers taught him. This is not allowed to do, this is allowed to do, and this person lives v'kach adam zeh, double underline, chai b'olam hazeh b'li machshava. He's living in this world without thinking. Hakol b'mikra etzlo, everything's by chance. And a person like this is not going to be one who's going to be able to get the Or HaGadol of real Yirat Shemayim. A person like this is not open for the Chochmah slave. Because a person like this, this Yirah is not coming from his Chochmah. It's not something coming from something he acquired. It's rather something that is external to him. And that is why, because it's external to him, such a person's nefesh is nekshura be'emet, al yotro vel baro, is not really connected to God. It's almost incidental. And that's why when something comes across his path, which is going to really lure him, or something he didn't learn about, or something he doesn't have the patience to think through, he will fall into the trap of the Yetzer Hara. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyirat shemayim. This person's yirat shemayim is very weak. It's a very flippant type of yirat shemayim. But then there's another type of person, and this is a person asher yeshlo in 27 lev ladad einayim lerod vaznayim lishmoa. This is a person whose eyes to see and ears to hear. Kidei lishko bepelas masa, he weighs everything out, and he really thinks about his Yirat Hashem. And this is the person who's the Chacham Lev. This is the person who's Omed and Mucham Kabel or Pnei Mela. This is the person who's ready to have a real relationship of Yirat Shemayim, because it's something that he's acquired himself, and not something that he has gotten almost automatically. My friends, if we're going to talk about, for a number of moments, integral ingredient number 2, and it almost sounds funny to have to talk about this, but I'm going to lay it out on the table anyway. It's about being alive. It's about making decisions. That's what the Sichus Musar is talking about. That's what Leif Shalom was talking about. It's not going through life as automatons. It's about going through life and weighing situations before we speak, before we say things, before we act, and before we do things. Ah, that sounds like a chiddush to most of us. You know, what comes to my mind, it's pretty silly, but I'll share it anyway. It's one of my daughters was in a like a musical production where they were doing they were describing what Erev Shabbos looks like. So you have like 30 girls on the stage and everyone doing something else. One's ironing, one's washing the floor, one's washing the window, to music, like in a dance. And everyone's busy, 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 busy. And it's like a swirl of activity. But what nobody is doing on that stage really is thinking. All they're doing is working, 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 like little automaton. And on stage it looked very cute, and with the music it was very well done. But the fact is, in life, this is the way we are. We're an automatic pilot. We have highway hypnosis our whole life. We do this, we do this, we do this, we do that. Why are we doing this? Well, that's what I've been doing my whole life. And this is why the essay of Rav Dessler, which I'm sure we're familiar with, but I just wanted to bring nonetheless, 32 through 36, will just highlight the point, is such a crucial idea to have in the forefront of our mind. where we are in control. We have a Nakuda Sabakhira. We have free choice. The asterisk in 32. Bechira depends on the person alone. There is no outside cause involved. The prime cause is the person himself. This is well known to anyone who has ever exercised his Bechira and conquered his evil inclination. Such a person feels with the utmost clarity that he has relinquished illusion and opted for the truth. But someone who has never made the necessary effort to subdue his evil side thinks that's impossible to do. To sum up in 33, the essence of good choice is to recognize the unique and indivisible nature of truth. And this, in effect, is to recognize the Creator. The essence of a bad choice is to accept falsehood as reality. And this, in effect, is to deny the oneness of God and to accept the falsehood of a duality of powers in the universe. And Rav Dessler's motto, which is a famous motto, is that Bechira, free choice, is like a battle. Each and every one of us has battles. Our battlefront is a different battlefront based on our lives, based on our education, based on our environment, based on all the factors that God has put into us. So someone who's grown up in Mea Shearim has a different battle than a Baal Tshuva who's grown up in Maine, or whatever it may be, and all the different permutations along the way. The battlefront will be different, whether I'm going to turn on a light on Shabbos. So for one, that's not going to be the battle. For one, that may be the battle. But each and every one of us, even though the battleground is different, the battle itself looks the same. There's all that is not even a question for me. Whether I'm going to turn on the light on Shabbos or not, it's not my point of Bechira. That's a past that, growing up in a frum home. But my battle point, right, and there's certain things that are way above me that I'm not ready to battle. The point right now where I'm battling is in something that is unique to me where I am running right now. So for me, let's say, it may be, do I speak this Lashon Hara or not? Right now, this is where the battleground is. This is where I'm fighting. My positive versus my negative, there is a Nakuda Sabachira here. This is the place of free choice. This is the place where every human being in 36 possesses the power of perceiving the truth available to him at his particular level, clinging to it and refusing to be deflected by it, by the seductive illusions of falsehood. Many people do not want to fight this battle. It's just too difficult. If I don't speak Lashon Hara today, I'll speak it tomorrow. And they're not even on the battlefront. And they lose battle after battle because they're not even there. When a person is alive, when a person recognizes and one is based on the other, that our life is about a lishma, our life is about being an Eved Hashem, it's about living a life dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I realize that this life is about living moment by moment. And when I live a life, it means being alive. It means desiring a relationship with Hashem. It means this chochom leiv that I want to have real yirah shamayim, because I've acquired it, because I've worked at it, because it's part of me. It's not something I'm taking for granted. And yes, day after day, I have battle after battle. And my life is about battling. And my life is about struggling. And my life is not about taking things for granted. And that's the essence of what life is all about. And as Rabelsky notes, in Source 41, the Ashar Sashchina, restoring the divine presence to Klal Yisrael, was only accomplished through the avoda performed in the Mishkan. The power vested in the utensils of the Mishkan through their anointing, which was the first part, was first they had to be anointed and then used, was truly awe-inspiring. Still, just sanctifying the vessels and erecting the Mishkan, thus creating the potential for Kedusha and Ashra Sashchina, the divine presence for resigning, would not have been sufficient unless the Kedusha is actualized. Unless the Kedusha is actualized, the divine presence will not appear, and there's no redemption. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's avoda in the Mishkan belongs in Sefer Shemot. He had to actualize the potential Kedusha. And every Jew, says Rav Belsky, in Yisrael, resembles a vessel of the Mishkan. endowed with the power to generate tremendous Kedusha, holiness. Like the klisharis, like all these holy utensils, a Jew possesses the capacity for two levels of holiness. One level is potential Kedusha, whereby he has the innate potential to sanctify those aspects of the world with which he comes into contact. Yet this potential must be used in the proper way. While having great potential is a fine thing in itself, if it remains untapped, it can be the mark of a life spent wallowing in the fanciful nostalgia. Oh, what could have been? The ability of every Jew in 42 to sanctify himself and the world around him must be utilized and brought to fruition by bringing one's power of Kedusha, Me'akoach, Alapoa, by actualizing one's potential. One is able to draw down the Shekhinah upon himself and attain the second higher level of Kedusha represented by the Mishkan. And that's why a person cannot live their life with, I could have, I should have, but rather recognize that we must look forward. We must recognize that we all have tremendous potential and we have to transform ourselves into a microcosm of the Mishkan through heartfelt tefillah, through Limud HaTorah, through acts of chesed. We build our character, we refine our spiritual activities, drawing down that sublime Devekus to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it's about, my friends. It's about recognizing this world is about Hashras HaShrina. It's about bringing down God's presence in that which we do in our lives. But it's about recognizing that this can only happen if we actualize ourselves, if we live a life to our full potential. Most people, we know this to be true, only utilize like 10% of their brain power. Most people never develop themselves to their fullest. And part of this, my friends, is that we don't have that inner push of the Lishma, that I'm given a world to do God's bidding, which means I need to dedicate myself, but totally, to His will and not to my comfort level. To His will and to developing myself through struggle to come closer and closer to Him to bring down the Hashras HaShechina. And that, my friends, on the last page brings us to Parshat HaChodesh. What is Parshat HaChodesh about? It ushers in the month of Nisan. Hine, Alekach, Falipov in 44, Inyan HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Hu Inyan Shalit Chachos. The idea of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem is this month will be new to you. It's a month of Hitchachos, of renewal. It's a month, Nisan is a month, which is the month of Geula. It's the month of redemption. It's the month of all months to work on leaving our hergel, leaving the routine, leaving the old, and being able to find the new. To Rotzel Chadesh et Atzmo Huavar Shelo, one of the greatest challenges of moving forward is our past. We say, look at where I've been. I just can't move forward. But no. A person has to believe he has this ability to change himself, but completely. And here in 45, the Chasam Sofer gives us, I think, one of the most incredible models of what does it mean to move forward and why we shouldn't have yeyush, why we shouldn't have despair. We know the Chumash describes how the Mishkan was taken apart by Moshe Rabbeinu and rebuilt during the 7 days of the Miluim, the 7 days of inauguration, which has to be reconciled with the fact that there was always a Petach Ol Moed, that there was always an opening to the tent. But so if you've taken down the tent, well, how do you have an opening of the tent, which before you speak about? The Chasam, and it's also physically, like he's taking it down, up and down, I mean, it was pretty heavy. The Chasam Sofer, based on a Gemara in Shabbos, has a gewaldic insight. My friends, I think this is the key for today. He says, let's learn together in 45. Ki akavanahi shema olam lo pirek Moshe Rabbeinu kol haMishkan. Says the Chasam Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take apart the whole Mishkan. Rock, what did he do? He gbia kesher me'adan shelo. He took a pole from its sockets, raised it up, and then v'chazar v'chniso, and then put it back in. And he did this with each and every board. where it was a new board only because he had taken that board apart and then put that board back in. But it wasn't like he took the whole thing apart and then rebuilt the whole thing. No, it was board by board, picking it up and then putting it back down. My friends, do you see the godless in this? So many of us say, says the Lekach Falibo, I can't become new because it means a total overhaul of who I am. No, it's not about destroying the Mishkan and rebuilding it from scratch. You know what it's about? Board by board, socket by socket, limb by limb, mita by mita. If you think Hitchatus renewal means to start fresh, it's overwhelming for all of us. But you want to know what a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem is about? It's about one mitzvah. It's about one inyan. It's about taking one thing and working it on there. That Chodesh Nisan, to break out of our hergel, to take something that we do. Don't take something new upon ourselves. Something we do already. We say brachos, say them out loud. We say asher yatzar, say it from a card. Whatever we do. We say moda'ani, say it out loud. Whatever it is, pick up that beam and focus in on that one and unique solo beam. And the month of Nisan, which is in 50, the month of Nes, the month of raising up. Nisan is from the word Nes, and Nes is a banner. It's a time to raise ourselves up from the Seder HaTeva. It's time to raise ourselves up from the natural order of routine. But in order to do this, a person has to take the initiative. In order to do this, a person has to be alive and ready to take the step forward. And that, my friends, is our final idea for today. Explains in 51, Reb Leibele Eger, why is it our original question by the chatzer, by the courtyard, it doesn't say, Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe. So says Reb Leibele Eger in Torah Semes. It's similar to the Pasuk in Tehillim. Ashrei Tivchar V'tikarev Yishkon Chatzerecha. Praise is the one who has chosen and drawn close. He who dwells in the chatzer, in the courtyard. And says Reb Leibele Eger, to be really parallel in the pasuk, it should be tivchar v'tekarev tishkon chatzerecha. What is yishkon chatzerecha? Not the you, but the he. So explains Reb Leibele Eger so beautifully. He says, be'eza adam bocher kadosh baruch hu. Who does Hashem choose? Then mi hu mekarev, who does he bring close? Rak Adam Kazer, only the person Shuose Pulamit Sido, who takes a step forward from himself, shall kopanim yishkon bechatzer, where the person himself wants to dwell in the outer courtyard. When a person has this desire to dwell in the outer courtyard, where he wants to come into a relationship with Hashem, then Hashem draws him in. The outer courtyard is representative, says Reb Leibele Eger, to our relationship with Hashem. It can't say, Kasher Tziva Hashem and Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe, because that's going to be counter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. At a certain point, Hashem wants us to take the step forward to say, we want the Mishkan, we desire it. Ah, when we've shown that we've desired it, the chatzer, the outer courtyard, we want this relationship, then you can have Kasher Tziva Hashem Moshe, that Hashem will command Moshe how you can continue to draw us closer, to bring us closer. Nisan is the time of the chatzer. Nisan is the time where we have to take a step forward and say to Hashem, we know that Nisan is a time of Nes. It's a time of miracles. It's a time of uplifting. It's a time of great sparks. It's the first 12 days. It's the rest of the month. No fasting. It's a day of simcha. It's days of simcha. They say that every first 12 days, every day, corresponds to a month of the year. Very holy times here. But the question is, where are we? And I think in summation, what we've tried to see here, my friend, two major integral ingredients. One, who is the Chacham Lev? On the first level, the Chacham Lev is a person who understands that all Chachma comes from Hashem and understands that's about Chachma Lev, as the Sfasema says, it's in your heart. It's about recognizing everything has to be Lishma for the sake of God, and therefore the repetition 18 times, Kashir Tziva Hashem and Moshe, and that's why the Mishkan was never destroyed. But you know what, my friends? It's not enough to live a life of Lishma. You have to be aware that you're living that life of Lishma. The Chacham Lev is someone who creates a Beit Kibul, someone who wants Chachma, someone who wants a relationship with Hashem, someone who wants to draw close. And that is represented in why we don't have by the Chatzer, Asher Tziva Hashem Moshe, because the Chatzer, the outer courtyard, is our stepping forward and saying we want this newness. How do we view this newness? Like the crushing. One Keresh at a time. You lift it up and put it back down. Work on one aspect that I'm breaking out of Hergel. When we show Hashem that, you know what, I'm not living life just by routine, but I'm ready to have a new battle. I'm ready to have a battle on the ground called Asher Yatzar, the ground called Shahako, whether I'm going to say it out loud, whether I'm going to say it with Kavana, whether I'm going to say it from a book. I'm ready, whatever it is, to have this battleground. It means I'm on the playing field. And as soon as we're on the playing field, we can then ask Hashem to please continue to grant us the Siyata Deshmaya, the help, that we live our entire lives lishma for the sake of heaven, our lives about process and not only about what others think about us, but or what we think about ourselves, but ultimately recognizing what truly matters is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks about us, and that He should bless the work of our hands.